Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into Festivus, week two. We've won a football game, and the bonus is a trip to Buffalo. I thought I was going to Buffalo. I thought I was going to see Steve Tasker and some of my friends up there and get out and visit with the Spradas and the Depew and Chickawaga and whatnot. Times are tough right now. When they told me I was going to need to get up there 48 hours ahead of time to like get a COVID test to do all this stuff, and I'm like, all right, well, I've been on the couch the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 weeks. I went the first couple weeks on the road, but how's life in Buffalo? What's going on in Western New York other than, oh, this is the biggest thing that ever happened in Western New York, right?
We're still kind of locked down, Nestor. Not too much is going on. Restaurants, bars, everything's kind of shut down pretty much. But by this time, it's a little bit, unhappily, it's a little bit normal, starting to feel more and more normal. We're waiting for the pandemic to end just like everybody else. Everybody is really enjoying this football team. They're a lot of fun to watch. They're a good group to be around. They like each other a lot. They're playing really good, and it's a much different team than what we thought we were going to get this year. Although we expect them to be pretty good, but we thought they'd look a lot different than they look, and it's been a lot of fun to watch them.
Man, I've known you a long time. I'm probably going to embarrass both of us before this segment's over because I found some old Super Bowl pictures of you and me and Jim Kelly 20 years ago at Sporting News Radio back in the day. And so it's been 20 years. I mean, I had Anthony Mitchell on this week, you know, from the Ray Lewis game and the Eddie George game. It's been 20 years. I know it's even further, 30 for you as a player. And I was going to be a little flippant when I brought you on and said, they put you in the Hall of Fame yet, man? But you spent a whole life in Buffalo. And we all see you doing games and, you know, you pop up around here, but life in Buffalo and the Bills and sports and them waiting all of these years, Josh Allen is sort of like the thing they've been waiting for a long, long time. When I say this is a big deal there, it's just, we've won Super Bowls around here and stuff. There's a lot of people that have been waiting since you for this, including you, right?
Oh yeah. And he has been a lot of fun to watch develop. This step that he took this year from where he was a year ago, where he was okay, he was average last year at best. Now he's playing at an elite level. The team got better around him, and certainly he has taken his game to a new level. We saw signs of this, and once in a while maybe a flash of this, last year, but this year from week one on, it has been a steady diet of good decision-making, great throws, poise, athleticism, off the page plays. He's just been playing at an elite level. He really, for those of us who are really into it up here, I mean, he was the difference in the game last week against the Colts. His ability to make plays was the absolute only reason that Buffalo won the game against Indianapolis. He's been fantastic, and he's got a lot of good players around him offensively.
Steve Tasker joining us from Buffalo, where things will be chilly on a Saturday night, and they'll have a few fans there with the COVID testing, as we saw last week as well. You've seen Lamar come in and sort of shake this thing up, right? I mean, it doesn't feel like that long ago that they drafted him, and is he going to play? And then he starts to play, and then how are they going to build around him? And it felt like they had everything percolating a year ago this week, and you know, just getting through the game in Nashville on Sunday gets them back to where they were last year, except they're on the road, they're an underdog, all of that stuff. But that 14-2 run last year, and Steve, I've never seen a team operate at a 2nd-and-1 and 2nd-and-2 all season long. I mean, they're winning games 45-6 in LA, they're beating Seattle, and then this offseason hits with COVID. All of the issues. They sign Ronnie Stanley. They give money to Marlon Humphrey. Stanley gets hurt. Boyle gets hurt. COVID comes to town. They hit the bump in the road in November. But they've really righted the ship here a little bit. The last 5 weeks has felt like a different season than what we saw here in September and October. And for him, winning the game felt, you know, okay the other day. But the walking off the field, sort of the Breaking Bad thing we've seen here, stopping him on a one-game basis and having the personnel to do it and having, I guess, more than anything, just the stay at home to be able to do it, and then being able to get him to the ground. Some thoughts about the speed and what he does to a team like the Bills, who saw him last year, and, you know, this isn't such a newfangled thing. There's other teams doing this, but not the way he does it, where he really is the running back distributing the ball.
No, he's a unicorn. Yeah, he's a one-of-a-kind athlete, and he's a one-of-a-kind quarterback, and he's got his own skill set that Harbaugh and their coaching staff have been phenomenal at building around. They've got a sustainable model here as long as they've got Lamar Jackson playing it the way he's playing it. They're big. You know, you got to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and the fact that they can snap off a big play at any moment, and that we've seen them do it. Well, it's the same thing with Lamar and the Ravens. Lamar will just drop back to pass and decide to take off and end up in the end zone. Baltimore is probably the team that the rest of the teams in the playoffs wish would go away. They want everybody else to play, right? Baltimore's a tough out. They're tough to get off the field. Lamar is hard to contain. He's impossible to stop completely. And, you know, that's what every team's looking at. It is a scary football team in Baltimore because it's unique. They've got a unique athlete. They're well coached in all the areas of the game. Their defense is playing really good, really solidly. It's a number one team in the league against the run and the total yards and all of that. They're hard to beat. And it really, you kind of hope you can keep it close and make a play on them late to maybe steal a game from them. And that's kind of the attitude of people watching this team. Certainly they went through a bump in the road, but as we all know, it's impossible to kind of quantify the issues some of these teams had with the downs that they had in the season. The Bills had a two-game losing streak this season as well. They lost to Tennessee in a game where they thought they were going to play Tennessee. Then it was moved, and they were going to play Tennessee on a different day. And then it was a different day than the first different day. And then it was going to be Kansas City instead of Tennessee. And then it's, oh, no, it is going to be Tennessee. Go play them. It was that kind of thing. And then they ended up after that. Then 4 to 5 days later, they had to go play Kansas City. So they lose those two games, and then they kind of right the ship. Lost on a fluke Hail Mary in Arizona. So it's impossible to quantify the downs that these teams have gone through this year because of COVID and the funky scheduling that they were all forced to do and the protocols they live with every day. So it's easy to see why these teams, other things than the way they're playing, could cause their seasons to go sideways for a couple of weeks before they got a handle back on and get right the ship. So I think, having said all that, I think the Ravens are, like you said, they are right back on the rails, headed down the tracks at 100 miles an hour. They're hard to stop.
Steve, with the Bills and this turnaround, and you live in the community there, you're calling the games now, the turnaround and decision-making and all of these things that the Patriots have gotten right for a generation until now, the Ravens have been really, really good at with Ozzie Newsome, Brian Billick, and now John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta, the Steelers, that thing that you're looking for that Buffalo hasn't had since Paulian, right? And since your era. And you've seen all of these different humans come in and try to do this. What is it about this particular concoction that maybe at the beginning you thought it's different, this is going to be the one? Because I think every Bills fan thought every other one of these guys was going to be the one. What's made this one stand out to you?
Well, this is a coaching staff that has embraced where the NFL is now with analytics, with sports science, with scheduling, with the way they handle their pro athletes now on a personal level, what a pro athlete is looking for in an organization, the type of player they want to bring in, the type of offense they want to run, the type of defense they want to run, the kind of contract structure they want to give players, which players they pay, which players they do not pay, the tweaking of their coaching staff from a year-to-year basis, all of these different layers to this onion have been a part of this process. And I think the one thing that has impressed me the most about this Bills process over the last 4 years is that with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, there has not been a single moment or any public decision that they've made that has been off plan. When Le'Veon Bell came about, they checked all these guys out, but they didn't sign a pricey free agent running back. They didn't sign a pricey free agent wide receiver like Antonio Brown. They didn't go out and go after the shiny object on the free agency shelf. The guys they picked only got signed if they fit the parameters that the Bills had set for their roster. And because of that, their locker room is extremely consistent. Their play is extremely consistent. Their coaching staff is consistent. Certainly their head coach is a consistent guy. It is, it's something that has been repeatable and sustainable going forward. And I think that's been the thing. Certainly they hit a home run with Josh Allen. And for a while, a lot of people didn't believe it. And now it's pretty hard. You'd be pretty hard pressed to make that argument.
But that's not just about McDermott or just about any one thing, right? It's about a system, right? I mean, Allen could have gone somewhere else and been called Rosen, right? And certainly Lamar could have gone a lot of other places and been, hey, kid, go play wide receiver. We'll call you when we need you or whatever. Because he heard a lot of that at the combine from most of the team. I don't think any other team even thought about making him the centerpiece and saying we're going to build around this. Josh Allen was someone that was passed over. They're all passed over. Once you're number two, you were passed over, but my Oilers took you, Steve, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's a complete comprehensive program they're running here. And it starts from the way they court free agents to come to Buffalo, because you got to think off the top of your head, it's a pretty tough sell. They are selling it, and it's pretty attractive to the right kind of guys. They've got a coaching staff that is for the most part, a very young coaching staff that fits the parameters that Sean McDermott wants in his assistant coaches. They have, you know, an analytics department and a sports science department that they listen very closely to in getting their team prepared. They have a system and a type of free agent that they go after. All of these things have led to them being not only the playoffs 3 out of the 4 years in the building. That's pretty impressive for a team that didn't go to the playoffs for 17 years before that.
Steve Tasker's here. He's with One Bills Live these days. Someday they're going to sneak up on you and they're going to put you in a Hall of Fame and I'm going to cry and think it's cool and all that stuff. All these years later for Buffalo and winning and not being able to have fans there, this is devastating for me as a fan, because I mean, I was there when you guys beat the Raiders 51-3 and whatnot. I even sent Amy Trask. I gave her a hard time. I know everybody loves her. I sent her a picture of my ticket stub to sort of rub it in last week on that. I got even because she had Ghost of the Post on me being a Baltimore guy. But you know, this is where the legends are made, right? I mean, this is where the Josh Allens or the Lamar Jacksons are going to step up and go beat the Aaron Rodgers or the Drew Brees or the Patrick Mahomes. And, the league's got a nice tournament, but this thing was very much up in the air, man. This was a very, very tough pregnancy this season for the NFL, right?
I think it was a massive accomplishment by the NFL to get 256 regular season games in and now halfway through the playoffs. I don't think it can be underestimated what a gargantuan accomplishment it is. I mean, you really got to tip your hat to the National Football League for getting all those games in when other leagues were struggling with small rosters, the ability to bubble up, all of that stuff going on. The league ground it through, and certainly there were rough patches, and certainly there were times when it's like, wow, I don't know how they're going to do this. They played a game on every single day of the week this year to get it done, but they got it done. And I think the country could not get enough of it. They are eating this season up in the NFL. I think it's been one of the most emotionally comforting seasons that our country's ever experienced.
Dude, I don't know what I'm going to do when it's like, we might lose Saturday. You know, what am I going to do next week? Right.
It's absolutely been a godsend for the emotional comfort of the football fans of the United States, if not everybody. Because if all the people were going crazy who loved football, everybody else was getting affected by it too. Because even if you don't like football, you know somebody who does. So it's been there's no way to describe how unbelievable an accomplishment it has been for the league to get all those games in and to be this at this point of the playoffs. What a phenomenal job they've done! Congrats to them. And these games coming up. This game between Buffalo and Baltimore, I think, is going to be a spectacular game. I just think it's going to be an absolute blast to watch. Kansas City and Cleveland, I think Cleveland's a little bit of a Cinderella story. No question. We all thought Pittsburgh was going to win that game. It wasn't going to happen. So now you got Cleveland and Kansas City. Kansas City will be a massive favorite in that game. But this, the AFC conferences could not be sitting in a better spot, if you think about it, Nestor. Look, I mean, you got Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes. You've got Deshaun Watson. You've got Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. You go down the list of quarterbacks, and Tua is another one. You've got all these, and Jacksonville is going to get Trevor Lawrence this year. I mean, you think about the quarterbacks that are going to be in the AFC conference this year and going forward. I don't know that any of the head coaching vacancies, I don't think you want to take any of the AFC opportunities. You want to stick to the NFC because the AFC is full of really good quarterbacks, and you're going to have to play against them for your entire head coaching career. I think this is the time when you want to take one of the NFC head coaching slots and stay away from this conference for a while.
20 years ago, Steve Tasker sat down. Look at that. Look how young we were there, man, at the Super Bowl. This was Super Bowl 35, and here we are 20 years later, and it might be Tampa again, right, for one of these two teams making it through. And, you know, Saturday night in Buffalo in January, I would say that's every traveling team's worst nightmare, Steve.
It will be cold, yeah. It will be bitter cold. But it'll look great. It's going to be cold. It won't be bad. The weather's not going to be too bad. I don't think that the conditions will have too much of a factor in the game. The wind is the one thing you worry about, and I don't think it's going to be very windy. So, yeah, chilly, yes. Unplayable, no. So I'm looking forward to it, and I know everybody else is too.
Steve, I appreciate you all the years through, always taking the call, always coming on, and always providing some great insights into all that we do here. And certainly the Ravens have, you know, over the last 20 years made it interesting. They've never played in a game like this. This is going to be fun for us on Saturday. Appreciate you, Steve.
Take care, Nestor.
One Bills Live, the way to find him, along with Murph and all the other folks up in Buffalo. We've had them all on this week. Vic Carucci, you can find them all at Baltimore Positive. You can email me still, nasty@wnst.net. I will be social mediaing my way through the divisional playoff round. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.